Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat and drank. They bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Here in the book of Jude, we come to a portion of Scripture where Jesus is speaking to disciples, and Jesus is giving them signs that he will come. When the Son of Man shall be revealed. When Jesus will come back and rule and reign upon this earth. As he gave the warnings of the times, he brought to their attention Lot's wife and said, remember her. We've been going through the book of Genesis, and we come to Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19, and we find the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we're going to take a look here at why Jesus told them to remember Lot's wife. And we're going to do that by taking a look at the account of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible tells that God destroyed the city with fire and brimstone. Well, why did God destroy the city with fire and brimstone? Why did God destroy this entire city and the inhabitants therein? Well, the Bible tells over in Jude in verse 7, it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. The Bible said that God had destroyed this city because of the homosexual lifestyle. And we find that God had destroyed that because of their fornication, because they've gone after strange flesh. That they are set forth an example as he destroyed them. You know, this lets us know how God feels about that sin. It's no secret, the Bible is clear, both in the Old Testament and the New, that God judged a whole city because of their sin. We find in chapter 18 that Abraham is pleading with God to spare the city for Lot's sake. You see, God had sent these angels to Abraham's tent, and these angels come to Abraham's tent, and Lot comes to them, and they tell Abraham that God is going to destroy the city. Abraham began to plead with God and said, Lot lives there. He said, if there be, what did he say, 50 people, 40 people, and 30 people, and he got down, he said, if there's 10 righteous people there in the city. And God said, I'll spare it for 10 righteous. Well, we know that Lot is righteous, and the only reason we know that is because the Bible tells us there in the book of Hebrews. But besides that, I don't know. I mean, we know that Lot's wife, and we are to remember her, and we know that she looked back and that she turned into a pillar of fire, a pillar of salt. But we find that some of his family didn't even come with them. So there may have only been one righteous person in the whole city. So God destroys the city. But not without coming to Lot. First, he sends these angels to Lot, and they come to the gate of the city of Sodom there in chapter 19. And these angels come to Lot, and Lot says, come into my house. And he pressed on them and said, you need to come to my house and stay in my house. And the angel said, no, we're going to stay here all night long in the streets. Well, Lot didn't want him to stay in the streets. He knew the wickedness of the city. And the Bible says that he basically forced them into the house. He pleaded with them and got them to come to the house. And there in the house, they had a meal. And they ate with Lot and his family. And after they got done eating, they were getting ready to, I'm sure, go to sleep. And they were going to their beds when all of a sudden, the Bible says, the men of Sodom began to surround the house of Lot. And they began to cry out, they began to yell and said, "Hey, bring those men out unto us because we would like to know them." They wanted these angels. They didn't know that they were angels. They'd seen them as men. And they wanted these angels to come because they wanted to have a relationship with them. Well, Lot went out there and Lot said, "There's no way." But the thing that I can't understand is Lot, he instead of just standing up and saying, "No, you're not going near my house or near my family," what did he say? He said, "I have two daughters that never known man." He said, "Take them instead." Well, these sick men didn't want the daughters. They didn't want women. They wanted men. The Bible says they began to try to break down the door. Well, the angels, they pull in Lot, and what they do, they struck all the men blind. That took care of. Could you imagine that? All of a sudden, they're blind. Well, then the angels, they tell Lot. They said, "We're going to, that God's going to come and he's going to destroy the city." And so Lot goes and he tells his daughters and sons-in-law and he warns them. He said, "We have to go because God is going to destroy the city." How did they react? Well, the Bible tells there in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 19 that their son, that his son-in-laws, they thought he was mocking. They thought he was joking. They said, "Silly old Lot, are you drunk? What's wrong with you? Come on, look, we're living it up. We're partying. This is a place to be. You have an open mind. You can be who you are. You can live how you want to be. You can be yourself in this city. Why would we leave such a great place?" You know, they weren't used to Lot talking about spiritual things. They weren't used to Lot talking with God. They thought, "Lot, you're a hypocrite. What's wrong with you?" He had ruined his testimony that they weren't going to listen to a word that he had to say. So Lot goes back home, and in the morning, the angels, they come to Lot again. And they say, "Lot, it's time to go. You and your family have to leave." In fact, the Bible says the angels, that they grabbed Lot by the hand and Lot's wife and the two daughters, and he brought them out of the city and told them to escape into the mountain and not to look back. There in Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, you know what happened. In verse 24 it says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city and that which grew upon the ground." Find that God sent down fire from heaven. It destroyed all the inhabitants, even that which grew upon the ground. But here's what it said about Lot's wife in verse 26. "But his wife went back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, he said, "I want you to remember this. I want you to remember Lot's wife." Hey, this morning we're going to take a look and we're going to take heed to the words of Christ as he tells the disciples to remember Lot's wife. Why are we to remember Lot's wife? You know, there are not many people in the Bible that were told specifically to remember. We're not told to remember Abraham, Isaac, Joseph. We're not told to remember Peter or John or so on and on. But I believe that we should remember them. I believe that we ought to study out their lives. We ought to study the whole counsel of the Word of God and learn from the Word of God. But here Jesus specifically tells us to remember Lot's wife. Well, if we're going to understand the meaning of Jesus' command, we must consider the context in which he was speaking. Now, the context in which Jesus was speaking as he's talking to the disciples is he's referring to the Great Tribulation. The context refers to the Great Tribulation. Oh, look over in Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, the Bible says there in verse 20, Luke 17 and verse 20. It says, "And when he was commanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Here the Pharisees were in a mocking way demanding of Jesus, and they're saying, "When will the kingdom come?" You see, they were seeking a political leader. They were seeking someone to rescue them from the domination of Rome. Well, Jesus was telling them the Messiah was already here and was already among them, and their hearts were blind because of their unbelief. Well, then Jesus turns to the disciples and begins to teach them the signs of the coming kingdom. He begins to teach them of the signs of the day of the Lord. There are several portions of Scripture, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, deal with this time period called the Tribulation, which is on the prophetic timeline. So let's take a look at this over in Luke chapter 17. Now look in verse 22. It says, "And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days, to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say unto you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in this day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Here Jesus warns them not to be deceived of the false prophets that will rise claiming to be Christ. We know that the Antichrist is going to come at this time. He's telling them, he's saying, don't believe it, don't be deceived by them. But when he comes, when Jesus comes back, he said it will be like lightning. It will not be hidden, it will be a public thing. There will be no doubt that it is him. You know, Jesus, when he first came, he came there as a baby. He was there in the manger. But he's going to come back. When he comes back, he's going to come back with great power and glory. But he tells them, he says, before he comes, he says that he must suffer many things and be rejected. We find that Jesus, he's going to suffer there on the cross, that Jesus is going to be rejected by his own people, by Israel. Now verse 26. He says, "It was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Jesus here tells them that just like it was in the Noah's day, before the flood, men were living it up with no worries. They were eating, they were drinking, they were getting married. That they had nothing, they weren't thinking of the wrath of God. Even though they were warned by Noah, they thought no thought of any kind of tribulation. Same with the days of Lot. They had no worries, they had no thought of God. Hey, they were just living it up in this city where they could just be themselves and they can live the sodomite lifestyle and have no worries. But the same day that Lot left, the Bible said the fire came down.
The same day that they were, that Noah and all the people that were there, he said they had no worries of any kind of rain coming down, but that very same day, the water came down, and it came down quick. They didn't see it coming. The great tribulation where God will judge this earth, the Bible tells it will be like a thief in the night. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Here the Bible refers to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord, Paul he's referring here to not only the event preceding the tribulation, but this includes the great tribulation leading up to the kingdom. The day of the Lord is not necessarily a 24-hour period, but it can be a lengthy part of time, which refers to possibly the whole tribulation. You have to look at the context and how it is being used. But here this day, the day of the Lord, is described as a thief in the night. Well, why is it described as a thief in the night? Well, because it is sudden. Because it's unexpected. You see, in the book of Daniel, the Bible explains that the tribulation is 7 years long. That the first 3.5 years, there is peace, where the Antichrist will come and he'll make a peace covenant with Israel, and they will feel safe. And they will feel like there is no danger. They'll have no worries. They'll be eating and drinking and getting married. They'll be buying and selling. But a great danger will be coming that they will not be aware of. It will be the day of the Lord. The great tribulation where the wrath of God will be poured out. Look in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." They're going to be saying, "Look at peace and safety. A covenant has been made with Israel, and everything is good. Everything is fine." But then, sudden destruction cometh upon them. And it's here said to be as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The great tribulation is likened unto a woman that is giving birth, that is travailing. You see, Israel is going through the tribulation, and before she gives birth, as it's referred to it over in Isaiah chapter 66, giving birth to the nation of Israel, where the kingdom is going to be established, he said she's going to go through some birthing pains. He said the wrath of God is being poured out. And today we're here in the dispensation of grace, which we find that Israel had rejected Jesus Christ, and then God's wrath was supposed to come down right then. But we find that God gave us this portion of time called the dispensation of grace. But then after the dispensation of grace is going to come the wrath of God upon Israel, and that's what's going to happen. She's going to be travailing before she gives birth to this nation. Bible says going to come as a thief. It's going to be sudden. Look over in Luke chapter 17 verse 30. "Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." When this time comes, Jesus is telling the disciples, he's saying, you must escape. Escape. In fact, he tells them to escape to the mountains. He says, don't look back. Don't go home. Don't get your stuff. You need to go. Look over in Matthew chapter 24, and that really shines some more light on this passage. Matthew chapter 24, and look in verse 15. It says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall the great tribulation, shall be the great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
See, the Bible speaks of the tribulation being a 7-year period. The first half, there'll be peace. Then the Bible speaks of, in verse 15, spoken to the prophet Daniel, speaks of the abomination of desolation. What's the abomination of desolation? Well, that is when the Antichrist will go into the temple and he'll sit on the throne of God and he'll claim to be God and he'll demand worship. That's what people be required to take the mark of the beast. And you find that in Daniel chapter 9. So the first 3.5 years is called the beginning of tribulation, the beginning of sorrows. And the second 3.5 years is the great tribulation, when the Antichrist launches attack against the Jews. And that's why they're told that they need to flee to the mountains for safety. They're told not to take anything with them. They said that woe to those that have children. What does that mean? Well, it said that, hey, if you have to travel and go to the mountains for safety, you don't want to be carrying someone around with you. Hey, it's going to slow you down. They said, pray it's not in the winter. Why? Because the winter conditions the elements that, hey, it's going to be harder to travel, be harder to get away. Said, pray that it's not on the Sabbath. I thought, why in the world would, you know, why would that matter being a Sabbath? As I looked and studied a little bit, I found that the Sabbath was a hard day to travel. Why? Well, one reason, possibly because they would shut the gates, you know, on the Sabbath day, because it was not lawful to be able to travel too far. So it would be something that would be more difficult to be able to get out of town. You know, difficult to travel in that day. He's saying that you have to go, that you don't want anything to slow you down. Luke chapter 17, verse 31, it said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Well, what was she to do? Well, she was not supposed to turn back. She was to go flee to the mountain, just like they are in the day of the great tribulation. But what'd she do? The Bible says that she turned back. Well, why did she turn back? One reason, she didn't believe in God. She didn't believe that God would send down fire to destroy the city. Another reason why is because she cared about the things of this world over the things of God. Now, this warning of the great tribulation is not something for the believer today needs to worry about, for Christ is going to come back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and he's going to catch up all those that are in Christ, all those that are saved, and we're going to be gathered together with him in glory. And that happens before the tribulation. So we're not to be looking for these signs that are going to be after the rapture. So we don't need to take heed to this passage of Scripture as in apply it to the Great Tribulation, but there are definitely some things that we can learn from the mistakes of Lot's wife. First, we ought to learn to never look back. Never look back. According to the context, Lot's wife, although she was fleeing from to the mountain, it really seemed as though her heart never left Sodom. It was a place where all her friends were. It was a place where her home was. It was a place that she had grown to love, this wicked city of Sodom. Although she left the city, her heart was still there. She could not help but look back, and it cost her her life. Now we're going to apply this Christian life. You see, that day that we accepted Christ, we repented of our sins, and we turned to Jesus Christ, and we looked to him. We laid our burden upon him. But if we're going to be honest, since that day, there are times that both me and you, that we've looked back at our old life. And why is it? It's because of the battle that's fighting within us between the flesh and the spirit. You know, there are times that we take our eyes off Christ. I think of Peter, who, after denying Christ three times, he went back to his old life of fishing. And he fished all night long, and he fished all night long, and what happened? He didn't catch anything. You're a professional fisherman, He fished all night long, and he caught nothing. Well, Jesus was there on the shore, and he called out to him, and he said, "Cast your net on the other side." You know, I'm thinking, if I'm a professional fisherman, I'm thinking, come on, really? Really? I'm not doing that. But he did. This is before he knew it was Christ. Cast on their side, and all of a sudden, the net is full of fish. Well, this happened before, too. This happened back when Jesus called him to be a fisher of men, to be a disciple, and the same thing happened to him. But here, he learned something. When you look back to your life, that's what he did. He went back to fishing. He got discouraged. He got depressed. He said, "I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to fishing." What happened? He wasted his time. He fished all night and caught nothing. Also, caused him to hurt the Savior. Now, I know there are times in my life that I look back, that I turned back and looked back at my old life. You know, Satan's always there whispering in your ear and telling you, "It was better back then. You don't need Christ." The Bible says that we're to look to Christ. Our eyes are to be on the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, Israel, they looked back to Egypt whenever danger came. Whenever danger came, when they come to the Red Sea, they all of a sudden they need water, wherever, whatever happens, they kept on turning back and said, "We had it better back in Egypt as we were slaves under Pharaoh." And what did they get out of that? Well, they got a vacation in the wilderness for 40 years. They wasted their time. You know, don't get your heart in this world. Set your affections on things above. Well, what's above? Well, Jesus Christ is above. The throne of God is above. The judgment seat is above. Our rewards are above. Have our minds set on the things which are above. You know that song that we sing often at invitation? It says, "I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me." Hey, we ought to keep the world behind us, our old life, our old ways. Hey, that's of the past. We need to look to Jesus Christ and never look back. You know, many people never make that choice to receive Jesus Christ because this world, this wicked world. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Many people won't turn to Christ because they love their sin. They love their old lifestyle. And their heart is there where they won't receive Christ. We learn not only that we are to never look back, but we learn of the urgency of following Christ. The angels, they came to Lot and they told him the danger that God would destroy the city and they had to leave. Well, Lot warned his family and they didn't listen. They didn't believe. The next morning, the angel said, "You must go," and they grabbed them. They grabbed Lot and his wife and the children. They brought them out of the city. Well, if you remember, Lot's wife, the Bible tells us to, we know that she looked back, and not only did she look back, she said that she looked back from behind him. They looked back from behind him, looked back to him. Now, what does that mean? It means that she was dragging her feet. It means that she didn't have a sense of urgency, that she was taking her time. She didn't see the danger. She loved Sodom. According to Matthew 24, the Israelites, when they see the Antichrist in the temple, as they commit he commits the abomination of desolation, the Bible says that sign ought to tell them that they better run. Those that are pregnant, hey, woe unto you, because you need to leave. He said, leave your clothes if they're at home, if you're working. He said, don't go back home. You need to go. Hey, there's an urgency about it. The Bible says that days as a night. Eating and drinking, carrying on with no thought. The great tribulation. Well, we live today in the age of grace. That means that we are saved. We're saved from the wrath to come. We're saved from the tribulation. But today we're told that Jesus will come back at any time. It's called the rapture. You know, knowing that Jesus Christ can come back at any time, we better have an urgency about us. We ought to look around and see lost. We ought to look around and see our own lives. Look around and say, hey, I need to do something for God. I need to serve God. I need to run this race. You know, I often think the reason why Jesus doesn't tell us when he's going to come back, because, you know, I know myself, and there's times that I'll slack. I'll procrastinate. He said, I'm coming back in 2015. Guess what? I'll wait until 2014 and a half before I start really serving God. Hey, we don't know. He's coming. He'd come back tomorrow. Hey, we ought to treat it like he's going to come back any day, any moment. You know, we ought to never look back because we don't know when he's coming back. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin which has easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, our author and finisher of our faith. It says we're to look unto Jesus. We are to keep our eyes on him, keep going forward. But he also tells us there's an urgency. What do you mean it's urgency? He said he calls it a race. He said you are to be running the race. Christians seem to be taking their time. No urgency about serving Christ. You know, for the lost, they have an urgency. That urgency is to turn to Christ. Because they don't know when they're going to take their last breath. You know, after they take that last breath, after they die, it's going to be too late. The Bible says over in James chapter 4, it says, life is but a vapor, appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. You don't know when you're going to what's going to happen tomorrow. He said there's an urgency. Hey, a lot of people, they think, oh, you know what? I'll accept Christ when I get older. I just want to, you know, live it up and part it up and just do whatever I want to do. Hey, you never know when sudden destruction is going to come. Hey, there ought to be an urgency. The Bible tells today is the day of salvation. Hey, Christian, maybe today is a day that you make a decision that you've been putting off. That decision maybe to serve God, give your life, surrender your all to him. Maybe it's to get baptized. Maybe you've been putting it off and now it's time to surrender the Lord. Now it's time to follow in obedience and to be baptized. Maybe it's time to join up with the church, support the church and follow the Lord, identify with the church. Maybe it's time to live for Christ. Maybe it's time you ought to start giving to the Lord. You ought to start being obedient to the Lord and give. You know, Lot's wife, she were dragging her feet, walking, running from behind Lot, and she had to look back. Last thing is we learn to believe his word. Why did Lot's wife turn back? Well, she loved Sodom. She had an unbelief. She didn't really believe that, I think, didn't believe that God would destroy the city. She might have thought, well, God's a loving God. God wouldn't do that. You know, that's what we hear often about hell. People think, you know what, God's a loving God. God's not going to send someone to hell. God's not going to have someone die and be tormented in a fire. God's a loving God. And you know, yes, God is a loving God, but also he's a just God and he must punish sin. Doesn't change the fact whether someone believes it or not. Doesn't change the fact that hell is real. And the message of the cross is the only answer for your sin problem. The Bible speaks of being saved from hell. Hell is not to be joked about, but hell is real. And the message of the Bible today is mocked. Man sees no need to turn to Christ. Like Noah. In Noah's day, he was warning and preaching, but yes, they didn't take heed to the warning. Lot went to his sons-in-law. I don't know if he went to anyone else, but he went to them and they just laughed. They see no need to leave the city. One day, those that reject Jesus Christ are going to wake up in hell. And they're going to wake up a believer. They're then going to believe. Lot's wife didn't believe, so she turned back. She turned into a pillar of salt. The lesson that we learn is to believe God's word above our own thoughts, above our own opinion, above this world. You say, but times have changed. Yes, times have changed, but God's word doesn't change. You know, there's always consequences for turning back. Hey, I praise the Lord that we don't turn into a pillar of salt like Lot's wife did when we turn back. But you know, when we do turn back, it brings the works of the flesh. Brings hurt. Hurt to us, hurt to our families, hurt to our Savior. It destroys your testimony for lost. You waste your time, you lose your joy, and you lose your reward in heaven. You know, we need to have an urgency. Don't turn back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. The cross, the world behind me, the cross before me. I have decided to follow Jesus. Hey, no turning back. You ought to make that decision today to never turn back.